Hey, this is Bob Camp, co-creator of the Ren and Stimpy Show, and you're listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
Here comes a new challenger. Time for your Talk Time Live exclusive.
Ladies and gentlemen, on the show with me right now, all the way from Australia, is none other than Jacob Janerka. He is a game developer and has been in the news lately, especially on the pages of IGN, GameSpot, whatnot, about a particular game that he is developing right now. Those of us in the States are very familiar with this concept, and it is Seinfeld of all things. Something that I never thought I would ever hear, video game and Seinfeld at the same time, but I'm more than happy to talk about this. And Jacob, thank you for being on the show.
No worries, man. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, first of all, God bless you, because my brother-in-law used to live in Australia. Significant other moved. They both moved to Germany, but they used to live in Australia. So during this time difference was always tricky.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's a real problem, especially I recently went through hiring voice actors, and they all lived in L.A., so I had to it was just a pain in the ass.
Oh, absolutely. And you know what's funny? When I first started, interviewing people and especially voice actors, because most of the voice actors that I've ever interviewed and gotten to know are in the east out of the west side. I'm in the east side over here by way of Philadelphia. So
yeah,
getting the three-hour time difference from the West Coast was a challenge enough. And then I started talking to people in Japan and Singapore, and now you're in Australia. So I am really getting the hang of all this. I am this close to being a time warrior.
Would you say you're a time lord? Is that the next level?
I would absolutely say I'm a time lord. I will definitely settle for that. All you Whovians out there. But nonetheless, let's talk games. You are a game developer. You've been doing games for quite a bit, but all of a sudden you came up with the concept to do a Seinfeld-based point-and-click LucasArts style, if I might add, type of game. What encouraged you to actually come up with this?
Well, initially it was just I was like getting into pixel art. Like, I did it as like a small segment in my actual game, and then I kept on practicing, and then I generally enjoy doing fan art, so I started off with just doing like a George, and then I was like, how about I'll make a background? So I made a background, posted that on like Reddit or Imgur, like, you know, it was like the most simple thing in the world, and it blew up a little bit. So I just kept on like adding more and more. It was more like a thing to wind down from just like making, like when you make your like original IP, it's like really exhausting because you have to design every single thing. But when it's like Seinfeld, it's like it's there. Like, you just copy what's in the room or whatever.
Right. And you have to get the iconic visuals down. And I think you've done that very well from what I've seen.
Thank you very much.
Especially that New York apartment. That's so iconic.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable. And it's kind of surprising like how much it actually changes. I had to go through so much referencing to like figure out what the room actually looked like, because in your head, you just imagine it the same. But if you look at pictures, it changes like every couple years. And then if you look at like they recreated it in I think it's in New York. They recreated like one of the rooms.
Right.
And it's like different again, because obviously they can't make it identical. So
you got to make sure that bike is hung up, though.
Yeah, exactly. That's the only thing that doesn't change.
Yeah, that bike that there's not one episode where you see him use that bike.
Right.
You know, and then again, it's New York. So it's like, I don't recall him ever being a messenger. He's always been on, he's done trains. He's been on, other things. He's never been on a bike at all.
Yeah, I mean, it totally makes sense that, he bought it one day for like a fitness thing. And considering Jerry's kind of like personality, like he wouldn't want to ride in the rain or anything like that, or
right,
get dirty.
That alone should have been like a fan fiction storyline as to why he never got that, used a bike, or does he use the bike or anything like that. I can absolutely see a scenario like that.
Yeah, I imagine there's some deep and terrible fan fictions out there on like Tumblr or something like that, which outline it.
Now, I mean, it's kind of an obvious question, but why Seinfeld of all things did you feel that you wanted to do? Like, how much of a, I mean, obviously it appears that you're a fan. First of all, do they actually air Seinfeld at that time? Like, when did you start becoming a fan of Seinfeld anyway?
Yeah, I mean, Seinfeld is pretty popular in Australia because it was so we had Simpsons and Seinfeld on this channel called Channel 10, and they basically play them back to back. So they would play Simpsons at like, I mean, it changed like every couple of years, but yeah. They would play Simpsons at like 6:30, and then they would play Seinfeld at 7.
Right.
So as a kid, like my brother was a huge fan. My brother's 10 years older than me. Mm-hmm. So I got like a lot of interest in like more like early 90s culture and stuff like because of him. But so I'd watch Simpsons, and as I got older, I was allowed to watch Seinfeld, and you'd watch it every day pretty much because it was on from Monday to Friday.
Early is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know what I found funny about it when I was like 11 or something, you know.
It's I mean, that speaks a lot about you as a person, the fact that you understood that type of, you know, social camaraderie, if you will.
Well, I don't know if I did. It's like when you sometimes you look back at like stuff that you found funny, it's like, did I find it funny, or was I just finding it, the characters just being humorous? Right. Like, but, you know, as I grow older, like, you know, you watch it when you're like 18, you're like, holy shit, this is like so in touch with just the subtleties of social.
It really does.
But it was just, I was like a big fan of it, and I had like a box set. Like my brother got like a box set one time for Christmas, all of them. So I was like rewatching them again when I was like older, like in my early 20s. And I at my work, I used to work at like a computer store, salesman. And for some reason, like the manager was like a big fan of Seinfeld. And then one day he decided to just call me Jerkstore because I was talking about the Jerkstore episode because my last name is Janerka.
Right.
And for some reason he tried to like combine it. And then for the rest, I worked there for 5 years and people would call me Jerkstore, like the old, like original workers.
Jeez. It's almost also so, like saying like Costanza can't stand you.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. I'd be like with customers and like someone would come up and say, hey, Jerkstore, do you know where the, so, and they just think the, they just call me Jerkstore because I'm a jerk. And it's like, no, it's just because the manager decided to give me that nickname on like the first week.
Now, as far as the development part of it, you did say that. Did you get any, what influences did you get to that point of creating it? Because it almost does look like an old school LucasArts type of, you know, game. Was there any influence of LucasArts or any type of games that led to you doing it in that, you know, format?
Yeah, of course. Like, I made the game that I released in April last year. Mm-hmm. It's just basically a Monkey Island clone. Like,
right, exactly.
It's most point-and-click adventure games follow, like, the same kind of genre tropes and stuff like that. And that's just something that I knew. So I thought, you know, Seinfeld would be perfect for that kind of art style and kind of gameplay because it existed in the 90s when point and click adventure games were popular.
Right.
And I felt that, you know, there's like a few IP games out there. Like there's like a Wayne's World point and click, which is like terrible.
Oh, good God.
There's like, there's a few other like movie ones here and there, but it's surprising that no one actually made even just like a shitty web game or something for Seinfeld, right. Like a 90s like flash game or something. But I feel if Jerry was actually tuned in into that, like they would make so much money by just making anything. Like they could just slap anything with Seinfeld on it and they'd like it.
I mean, nobody's ever thought about it until you actually put it out there. And, you know, it was never thought of. Nobody can fathom that type of, you know, genre or even that type of show to be as a video game. But the mere mention of it, and it started showing out on different, you know, gaming media form platforms, the idea of it was like really intriguing. It's just like, oh my God, I would so love to play this. And like we have a Facebook group of our own, and when we showed this, people were like really excited about this. Not only that, but they were asking, there were all sorts of questions going on. So I'm even going to ask, like, did anybody, like, maybe even Jerry himself, maybe Larry David, did anybody ever reach out to you, or did you ever reach out to them in regards to try to really making this go further?
Yeah, no one's contacted me. I haven't got any cease and desist, like. I
we hope
I guess Yeah, I mean, I don't even mind. Like, to me, like, if I got a cease and desist, it's like a funny story to tell for the rest of my life. Like, I want a cease and desist, and then I can frame it. Like, if I got one,
you can also relate it to like episode one or something like
that. Yeah, yeah, exactly. Like, no one's contacted me. I think they just don't know. Like, they don't go on the internet enough. Like, I think maybe someone. Like, I'm guessing maybe someone would have showed Jerry or something, like maybe like one of his friends, like surely because of the coverage, like there was one person in his circle of friends, like
right,
picked it up. But then again, it's like gaming stuff, like they're all, you know, quite a bit older. Like Larry David doesn't play computer games, like he probably doesn't have a lot of friends.
Like, I wouldn't necessarily think neither of those guys would go on like looking for hashtags on social media or Googling certain things at that point.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I'd love to hear, like, I wish someone, like, if they said in an interview, like, I wish someone would ask them that question in an interview, if someone, like, in Hollywood or something like that has seen it. But, I haven't reached out. Like, the only way I would is if I actually had a demo for it. Like, I'd only do it if I had something serious for it, or just like to pitch it. Like, even if I just got a Skype call with them, like I'd be happy.
So basically right now, is this, you know, what's the status of it right now? As far, are you looking to finish it? Are you actually looking to make a complete game of it? Or it's just, you know, pretty much just I wanted to try something really cool and just for the hell of it.
Yeah, I mean, to be, if I'm being honest, it's not something that I'm like, oh, I'm gonna make a Seinfeld game, like pursuing it like every day. It's more like a something to like de-stress. Like, and you know, some people will like knit a blanket or something like that. Like, I'm making a Seinfeld adventure game. It's also to learn software and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I gotta tell you, my friend, you probably created a firestorm.
yeah it's like one of those things, like I try not to touch it too much because I know people want it, and then I'm like, would I want to actually make it like full time for like a year?
But you also created a script somewhat, right? Just, you know,
yeah,
somewhat of a fiction, you know, dialogue for it.
Yeah, that's what I'm just using to like brainstorm concepts. Like the problem with making the game, one, it has to be really good. Like, if you wanted to pitch it for real, it would need to make Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld laugh.
Yeah, so. that was one of the biggest questions I think a lot of us had, myself included, was, you know, is this going to be based on the actual content from in dialogue from the show, or is this original dialogue? Is Larry David, is this going to be written by Larry David? I mean, people were very interested in everything about this game. So, you know, hopefully through this interview, you would reconsider probably going deep on it. Cause it's if you have the right to do it, if you had the right means, if you had the right dialogue, you know, there's some potential here.
Yeah. 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 I think it would be like an episodic thing. I mean, the plan in my head, you know, I've considered all the avenues. Like, if you made it based on the actual episodes, it would be a shit game, basically. Yeah. Like, it would be just riding the nostalgia wave. Like, people would play it because they relive the episode in game form. But it doesn't, it's no, like, I just feel like it wouldn't be worth it. It's just, the gameplay wouldn't fit in very well with the stuff. Like, you could do, like, you know, silly stuff, like, you know, playing, like, a mini game of, like, with a fishing rod trying to get the bubka or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And certain stuff, like maybe, like, one of my ideas was, like, you had, like, the nostalgia version, like, you'd have, like, a few episodes, like, gamified, but then you'd have, like, the original episodes.
Right.
And then you could basically write, like, new things, and because you're writing an episode with a game in mind, it would be, like, better on all sides. Like, humor would be better and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, saying that, I think... An original game episodes would be harder to pitch because they would want like quality control and stuff like that.
Oh, absolutely.
Like,
yeah, absolutely. Just to be an experience too.
Yeah, they like, for example, like, say if it did go through, I imagine they wouldn't want the Seinfeld name to be tarnished, so they would probably want like to hire riders or something like that.
It is one of the biggest legendary brands.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's the biggest, pretty much the biggest sitcom ever made. So
it literally is, and it literally is,
right? Yeah, yeah.
You really, and it's funny too because you're going back to again when you were 11, you're enjoying this at that age. You call it just like, you know, maybe just a significant factor. I'm thinking you actually were way more mature for your age. And you, because I mean, you did a gamble. You could have watched anything else. You chose that to watch, and then come to find out later on when you grew up, you got older, more mature, and you watched it again. You realized that you did it. You did the right thing. I may have to like rely on you for certain other things. I may be questioning at this point.
Exactly. I'm an all-seer. I'm an all-seeing.
Yeah. Let me give you one more question, Seinfeld related, and then we'll talk about some other things real quick. But actually two. One, give me your favorite character. And then two, give me – I'm going to narrow it down to what you think is your top three favorite episodes.
Oh. That's hard.
I know it is. Some iconic episodes.
I would probably say there's so many like iconic like small time characters, but I have to say George is like the funniest, in my opinion, the funniest character on the show because he's just like, just the way he digs himself into lies and like tries to get away with things. It's just
By the 22nd minute of the episode, that's when you know all things are gonna crash.
Yeah, exactly. Like he's such a like ripe character to write for. I mean, like they're all good. Like Elaine like represents this like independent woman in New York. Like Kramer's like the crazy guy. I mean, they all mesh together so well. Like, but I'd probably say George is like the one that I normally like. George episodes are normally my favorite ones.
I can understand that. I mean, it's like there are times when he puts himself. There are times with George you feel bad for him. There are times when you like. Just say George is an idiot, but there, you know, for the most part, you root for George. Sometimes you root that, like, by the time the show ends, that he actually succeeds in what he's trying to attempt to do, and it never works. Whether he's giving a cashmere sweater to somebody, whether he is trying to be Vandalay Industries, whether he's trying to win, you know, I think the only thing he's really accomplished, if I'm correct, was that he won that bet, and we still don't know if that's the truth. Yeah, you know, so he's probably, I would say he would be the favorite among the rest, definitely. So it's hard pressed to disagree with anything, but I can definitely vouch for that. But what would be your favorite three episodes if you could narrow it down?
Most of the time I'll like an episode just because it has like my favorite scenario in it. Not necessarily like it's a good episode overall, it just has like a bit in it. Like when one of my favorite parts is when George just starts working at a company like without being employed. Like I think that's like one of the funniest premises ever, because it's so like you could so easily do it like in real life. You could easily walk into like some big corporate office and just kind
of
walk around
anybody.
Yeah, exactly. Like you could just pretend. Like I reckon like in most big companies that, you know, there's like over 50 employees, you could just pretend you're the new guy for quite a while, and
especially
just like,
if they have different floors of employees that just comes around at every time.
Yeah, exactly. That episode's one of my favorite. Unfortunately, I don't remember the names. Like that's
Oh, you don't have to the names exactly, but you know the scenes, you know the situations.
Yeah, I do like the episode, which I actually watched recently when it's one in the later seasons when Jerry's stereo breaks, and then Kramer reckons he can get him a new one, so he commits postal fraud.
Yes, wait, well, yes, I do remember that, and And Newman pretty much just he played detective through the whole entire thing.
Yeah, and it's just like I love the kind of stuff that implements cinematic tropes. So he's like, you know, he's like sitting under the hot light sweating, and Jerry's just like
he's just
sipping a soda in the regular.
Yeah, he's just all calm and cool and collective.
Yeah, that was like an interesting thing with like the later seasons. They started getting like using more breaking the conventions of regular sitcoms and like doing like cinematic shots and stuff.
But I think also the other thing that would made this so great, and I think when I started, it took I was a late bloomer in watching Seinfeld, but it was a friend of mine, she got me into it. She was very we were in high school at the time. She's a very sophisticated person. She loved a lot of more sophisticated things. She was a lot more mature than me, of course, at the time. But she convinced me to watch it, and I started realizing how much of this show really focuses on real life situations that people go through in their own type of way. And it was amazing to watch. To this day, it's still relevant. So a lot of stuff is still relevant.
Yeah. That's like one of the staying factors of it keeps cultural relevancy, even though that it has, you know, our modern world is so different with, you know, smartphones and stuff like that and social media, but it's still, when you talk to people in real life, like that's how things work and you get to live through that. Like, I don't think the word schadenfreude is the right word, but you get to live like the fantasy of like doing the things that they do to people that you just dislike or like annoy you. You don't, you, in real life, you'd be polite, but like part of you is like, I want to be that asshole Jerry.
Now, the only thing I have not come across was a soup Nazi, and thank God. I've not ever come across that, but you know, I hear he's real, so you know, more power to you guys in New York.
Yeah, I'm sure there's, I've had a few soup Nazis in my life.
Really? Wow. Yeah. Did you, I mean, like literally to the point you had to be in a straight line, attention.
Not that bad. Just people who like, there's a,
Banded you for a couple weeks.
I'm a huge fan of Polish donuts, and there's only one place where I live where they make them. And like they're like the worst customer service in the world. And, anyway, that's the story for another day.
But again, you know, at least you have a show that that makes you feel like you're not alone.
Exactly.
But also, let's flip this. Let's flip it around a bit. You actually, you know, as a game developer, you do have other games and projects that you're working on. First of all, before we even get into that, where did you, where exactly did you learn your craft? You know, and what made you go into creating games in the first place?
Yeah. It's primarily self-taught. I did go to uni for illustration, photography. I wouldn't really recommend it. I mean, it depends where you are. Like, you know, I live in the most isolated city in Australia, and the schools aren't particularly that great. But saying that, I did learn a lot of things that helped me, like graphic design and typography, which is, I think, any designer needs to know. But
oh God, yes. Look, if you don't understand how to place words and letters together and space them right, what is your point?
It's unbelievable. It's such a, you're just trash if you don't know it. If you're designing anything. I started, when I was 16, I decided I wanted to be a concept artist for video games. And I basically like practiced like every day for like 10 hours, like kind of stuff. I was like a part of like an art group on conceptart.org.
Nice.
Which was like an old website. And I got a part of Crimson Daggers, which is like another art thing run by Dave Raposa and Daniel Warren. Those guys worked on like Transformers, Pacific Rim, some Hobbit designs and stuff like that. But then I kind of realized that my skills were more like making weird, funny shit. So I was like, why am I making this like realistic barbarian or wizard? Like when I'm so much better at just making like funny, dumb shit
that
makes people. Yeah. So I wasn't very good at drawing backgrounds, so I was practicing that. So I just made a project to make a game to get better at it. And yeah, just kept on snowballing from there. People started liking it. Then I started learning how to make games from just tutorials and stuff. And then like 5 years later, it was like a game came out.
Yeah. So, I mean, you, one of the games, I believe, if I'm correct, was a game called Paradigm.
Yeah, that's my first game.
Yeah. How was that experience, being at it being your first game, and what were some of the things that you, you know, the trial and errors that you learned from that?
you should schedule your time correctly and not be a piece of shit that sits in your room all day. It was a wonderful experience, but I worked pretty hard on it. I was like a solo developer on it. So I had one music guy who did all the sound and music, but majority of the time it was just me sitting alone. And I think I just, like, from experience, like, I just worked too hard and just was way too focused on it when I could have, like, finished it in the same amount of time if I actually, like, scheduled breaks and stuff like that.
Right.
But yeah, it was like the best thing in my life. Like, I got to work on exactly what I wanted every day for ages. And I didn't have any like art directors telling me like I had to do this, or I had no one telling me I couldn't put this like joke in there. Like, the only times I would not put a joke in there when I had to like think about how offensive it was and if it was worth making a bit of controversy. But
so yeah. You've been independent this whole entire time. You've never worked for an actual company, at least not
no
yet.
No, I've done freelance work for like small stuff,
right?
But it's like, even saying that, I feel like I'm not even allowed to say it because it's just like it was such small right. jobs that I was doing.
Well, the reason why I asked is because I've had, you know, actual indie developers like yourself on the show that were previously working for bigger companies, and they decided to go solo, or not at least solo, or come, you know, as a, you know, independent group with a bunch of other people that they work with. And they said the same thing. It's like the creative, you know, freedom.
Yeah,
what
yeah.
they enjoy the most from it. And it's like you haven't even stepped in, you already knew that from the get-go. So, you know, that's amazing that you've actually, you know, looked into that. And not to say that there's anything wrong with working with, you know, certain game companies that's not EA. But, but you know, it's just like there are certain restrictions that come with working for bigger companies, and somewhat understandably so. But the ones that don't allow, you know, creative input.
Of course.
That's when it becomes a problem.
Yeah, it's just, it depends on what you feel like. Some people actually, I know a lot of people who love drawing or making art, 3D art, but they just like making it. Like, they just like the process. They don't even care about the creative part that much. Like, right. they're just like, I just want to draw this thing all the time. And you're like, that's cool. Like, I think... Yeah, just some people have different strokes for different folks. Like, I prefer to do stuff that's, like, you know, generally not... Like, I can't find a job that does what I do, basically. But, again, like, where I... Like, probably the people you talk to, they probably grew up in the US where there were companies, or they grew up in the eastern states in Australia where there were companies. Like, where I live, there were no companies. Right. They had one company when I was, like, 19, 18, before I... with like had enough skills anyway.
Right.
And like the guy ended up like basically like going to court for like withholding like salaries and just like money laundering and shit. Like it's just crazy. Wow. Like, you know, yeah, EA.
I was about to say, in my mind, I was like, is it EA?
Nah, they were making some like online soccer game.
Right.
It was, yeah.
Yeah. It's not that.
But yeah, it's I think a lot of things come down to necessity. Like, that's why I solo developed a game, because just necessity kind of stuff.
Now, down the line, I mean, would you consider coming to the stage? Probably, you know, proving yourself over to the other game companies, the bigger game companies down here, or would you rather prefer to try to build yourself from the ground up?
My preference would be to keep making new games. But like the industry in Australia is actually pretty good now. Like, I'm actually moving to Melbourne in 2 weeks. And that's like where all the majority of the companies are. Queensland is quite big as well.
Right.
Even here now, like, we have two companies, but I could consider, like, if I were to move to US, like, there's a bunch of companies in San Fran.
Oh yeah.
And there's some in the eastern states. Yeah. But it's like, it's also, you know, you have to get a green card, like, need to living expensive in San Fran as well. Like, sounds like a nightmare.
Look, I've traveled to San Diego at least twice, and it cost me an arm and a leg, so trust me, I understand. It probably costs more than that just to stay.
Yeah, and I just think about, like, U.S. healthcare, too, and I'm just like, oh, yeah. Nah, I'm good. I'm just going to stay in Australia.
You really thought about it. Really good.
Yeah, I mean, for sure, I definitely would like to. I'm going to San Fran, actually, in March for GDC, Game Developer Conference.
Right? Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that should be a great fun trip.
Permanent residence, I don't know.
Hey, whatever happens, happens, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, at the end of the day, what exactly is your end goal? What exactly is your main goal? At least, not even your end goal, but your main goal, you know, out here. You know, what type of games are you looking to, you know, develop and create at this point?
Yeah, I just want to really focus on just, like, surreal, weird humor video games. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's a lot of, like, now there's more and more, but I feel like there's a lot of ground to be made with comedy in interactive mediums, mm-hmm. and video games in general. Like, you know, you have, like, TV shows that are so mined right now for, like, humor, and I feel like there's so much potential in video games that people haven't really explored in terms of, like, comedy, mm-hmm. and That's the route I want to kind of go and really focus on that.
And I think you've really tested the waters with that by, you know, showing people that you were making a game based on their favorite comedy and how people reacted to that. You know, that was a really good, you know, tester right there, because the mere mention of that, you know, even though I'm finished, even though it was just like a tester. Actually kind of went viral in a sense. It exploded to an extent that, like, yeah, we would like to see our favorite comedy as a video game.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. It kind of blows my mind, like, how much it blows up. Like, I've posted it on Reddit, like, 3 times, and mm-hmm. 3 times it's gone on the front page. And, like, it's just the strangest thing. Like, sometimes it pisses me off because I'm like, fuck, why is my shit, like, why isn't my shit going to the front page?
Right.
But, because obviously, because it's attached to Seinfeld, it just sparks people's imagination of what it could be.
Yeah.
But there's definitely, like, I feel if I actually did make a pitch and I was like, look, Jerry, look, or Larry, Jerry and Larry, right. Look, this is how much money you would make. Like, I could make a shit game.
Oh, God, don't be the E.T. guy.
E.T. guy. No, I don't want to put
I mean, everything's digital now, but if it ever goes physical, don't be the guy that has it, you know, dumped in the Sahara Desert.
Bury the cloud servers in the ground.
Exactly.
Yeah, like, it would, from a, like, a investor standpoint, like, they could, you just make it a mobile game and pick a Steam game, and if it was good, and then if it was a good game, it would do really, really well, and it would probably spark sales again for, like, Hulu's subscriptions, and, like, it's on Hulu, right?
Yes.
Or is it? Yeah,
God, it's almost everywhere. It's, like, I think Netflix might have it too.
Netflix doesn't have it. I don't know if Australia has it.
Well, we might have two different Netflixes too. I don't know if your Netflix plays the same as.
Oh, no, it is. It is different. It is different. Like, I have, like, another subscription service that I have for Seinfeld, which I solely have for Seinfeld.
Interesting. Well, note.
Yeah.
So what is your next project you're up to now?
At the moment, I'm learning to make 3D stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping to make 3D games. Like, I've never done 3D. So at the moment, I'm power learning it,
mm-hmm.
trying to get as good as possible. And then, at the same time, hopefully working on the Seinfeld game on the side to keep my sanity. But that's what I hope to be doing. Is, like, I've got an idea for a game, and I hope to find a partner for programming to do all the nerd shit.
Right.
And all the stuff that I can't do, unfortunately, I don't have the programming abilities.
Right.
But I'm not going to talk about it just yet because I don't have, like, It's two in its infant stages.
Right. Well, nonetheless, man, great accomplishment that you did. And, you know, maybe this will be an eye opener to possibly even going further with that. And but it is giving you it is a very positive, you know, thing for you to get that type of reaction. And, you know, I, as a person like myself, you know, doing what I have done in both, you know, graphic design and web design and all that other type of things, and even media now, to get that type of, you know, exposure, it means you're going on the right road. And so you got to, I commend you on all the effort that you did on that. Even if it was just for the fun of it, definitely tells you got something, you got a gift and you got something good going. So definitely keep up the great work with that.
Thank you for blowing up my ego just a little bit, just at the end of the interview. Everybody, I'm guessing you're expecting me to give you the beta of the game as soon as it gets ready.
But no, Jacob, definitely keep up the good work, man. This has been great. Thank you for taking the time to, you know, talk with me. It's been a pleasure having you on the show. And good luck, and keep us posted on what you got up next. But before we end, let our fans, our listeners, your people know where, how they can reach you and find you and see what you get to do next.
Yeah, if you just check behind your dumpster back at home, I'll be sitting there waiting for you. But if you want to contact me through social media, at Paradigm Game, and if you want to check out my website, paradigmadventure.com, or you can just, you know, buy my game, and then maybe I might make the Seinfeld game if you buy more copies of it.
There you go. So definitely, thank you again, and I look forward to seeing what you got up next. And feel free to, you know, hit me up and let me know and keep me posted and everything. Definitely.
Yeah, thank you very much for having me on. It was a pleasure.
Not a problem. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope you enjoyed our interview with Jacob Jenerker. Please let us know what you think, and we'll definitely keep a track on him, on everything that's going on in his world. So on behalf of myself and Jacob, ladies and gentlemen, learn to let go, live life, and love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. We are out of here. This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, your choice for multimedia development for your brand. Visit VFISAD.com and find out how we can make your vision your reality.